Welcome to the Bethany Hour with Pastor Richard Adams and Pastor Tim Reed. Join us as we look into the book of Luke. And through the shadows, your light appears. I've known you with me, but now it is clear. I can feel you, Jesus, all around. And I can feel you.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Hey, welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, once again on this wonderful day. Today is Wednesday. We're recording this for Sunday, but boy, what a day out it is there today.
It is a beautiful fall day. You know, in spite of all that's happening in the world, the sun rose this morning and Jesus is still standing at the right hand of the Father waiting for him to, you know, sound that trumpet so he can call his church home.
I think it's going to be soon. When you look at the signs of the time with all of the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the tragedies that are happening and all around the world. And I know people have been saying that for a long time, but you see the temple getting ready to be rebuilt, and it certainly is a sign.
It definitely is. And we're looking forward to that day when Jesus calls us home.
Those of you who have been enjoying the book of Luke, we're going to be switching here pretty soon to the book of John. But right now, we're going to take a look at Luke, and we're in chapter 24. So if you got your coffee ready and you got your seat in your rocking chair or in your chair that hangs upside down.
Yeah.
People have that.
Yeah.
People have chairs that hang upside down. The world's changing. And we're reading from verse number 27. Enough of the tomfoolery.
That's what it is, tomfoolery.
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Now, those of you that remember, he's talking to the men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has risen from the dead. The men, the disciples, have left Jerusalem, and they're going back home to Emmaus, and Jesus is walking beside them, talking with them. They don't even know who he is. They have no ideas. Their eyes are blinded to who he is, and yet here we find in verse 27, now Jesus is going to start to talk to them about the scriptures, about Moses and about the prophets, and to say all the things that the prophets said about him.
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty amazing when you think about how many scriptures are in the Bible that refer to Jesus. And he doesn't come out, I like the way he doesn't come out and say who he is. He doesn't say, what's the matter with you guys? This is Jesus. That's, you know, he goes and he shows them the Bible.
Right.
And it's almost as though he's saying to some of you, well, if Jesus would come and say to me, so-and-so, this is me, I'd believe him. Well, he's showing them the Bible. There's the key.
Yeah.
If you would open the Bible and look, you find Jesus.
Exactly. You know, it's pretty incredible to me. I taught a Sunday school class here a while back called the Jesus of the Epistles. So it's kind of a New Testament thing, went through Paul's writing, some of the other epistles. And then I thought to myself, I would really love to do a sermon series based on this called Jesus of the Old Testament.
Wow.
Because what's
a lot
in the,
of scripture.
Yeah, what's in the Old Testament concealed is revealed in the New Testament. So,
amazing.
So the New Testament puts light on the Old Testament, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He's walking with
them. Exactly what he did.
And he's the revelation of all this stuff, so he knows what he's talking about. And so he just wants to, you know, point some stuff. And these guys knew this stuff, but he wanted their eyes to have that revelation light turned on.
It's really amazing to me because certainly it would be faster if he just told them who he was.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's me.
Yeah, it's me. But much faster if he just opened their eyes like he healed the blind, if he would just have done it that way. But it seems as though there's something that is good about us actually hunting and looking and finding it for ourselves. And Jesus is trying to help them to come to that epiphany of who he is.
Amen.
By showing them all the places in things that they believe. The Old Testament, they were believers in the scriptures.
Yeah, that was their Bible.
That was their Bible.
Yeah.
They believed in them. And so one of the problems I think we have in America today is people just don't believe the Bible. They think it's just written by some men. It's not really inspired by God. And when you don't have a solid understanding of the scriptures, it's going to be real difficult for you to find Jesus. I really think it's going to be hard for you.
Oh, yeah, wholeheartedly. I think there's some people that have never opened the Bible but think it's worthless. There are some people who have opened it and yet, like you said, still don't believe in the veracity of it. And then there are some who, when they open this book, it becomes light and life to them.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me that when we have a president of the United States that talks about God, talks about the Bible, talks about the things he believes, that the media and many people degrade him as though he really has no understanding of anything because he believes in God, he believes in the Bible. And there's so many people that just don't want to have any faith at all in something that is beyond themselves because self is the key.
Right.
It's really amazing to me.
It's a sad state because as you can look around, it doesn't seem like humanity's getting any better.
No, you're right. But when you look at America and its development, it was all about Bible.
It was. It was based
everything.
On God,
all our Harvard, Yale, all the great schools, they're all Bible started.
Yeah.
And it was all Bible based. America was built on the freedom that comes from the expression of finding God. And it truly is amazing that we are so far away from it.
It is. It's sad.
So here, Jesus is talking to them about the Old Testament scriptures. and how they pointed to him. And then as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. And I love that way he said that he acted as if he was going further, because see, I think Jesus really wanted them to say, why don't you come and stay with us? But here he makes believe, if you will, like he's going to go a little further.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the next town.
Yeah, but I like the idea that he doesn't come out and tell him who he really is, straightforward, and yet he doesn't like hang around so much. He makes them ask almost. He makes them ask something. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. No. You know, some people, we hear testimonies all the time about, they say, well, I finally came and I asked God, if you're really real, show yourself.
All right.
Prove yourself to me, do this, show this, but they asked, and it happens.
You know, Jesus says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. He wasn't at the door knocking yet, but he was kind of at the door, and he was waiting for that invitation in. And, you know, we use that phrase a lot. Have you invited Jesus into your heart?
Do.
Have you invited him into your house just to sit and talk with him? You still don't know who he is yet, but there's that invitation piece where you need to open the door of your life, of your heart, to connect in a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, and so this is Jesus. He's working like an evangelist here. He's working these guys. He thinks they should know, they should understand, but he's being very patient. And I love the way he shows this patience. He doesn't force them. He doesn't say, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. He doesn't do any of that. He's just patiently explaining the scriptures, and then even attempting to say, well, I'm going to go a little further, as though you guys had a chance to talk to me, but I'm going further. Yeah. No, wait a minute. They're going to. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus said, I'm going a little farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And that is powerful. Yeah. Urged him strongly. How many of you have urged Jesus to hang around you?
You know, that's a great sentence.
It is.
I really, really like that. There's something within them. They were listening to him, and you know, they knew it was nighttime. You didn't want to be walking around at night. There's no street lights. There's none of that stuff happening. So they're like, you know, you don't have a place to stay. You don't know what's going on in town. Why don't you come hang with us? And they almost had to beg him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. They did urge him strongly.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing what hospitality will do for you. I'm not talking about what it does for somebody else.
Right.
But here, this is a hospitality statement. Stay with us. You know, it's almost nighttime. Stay with us. And you find people who are hospitable. They really reach out. They invite people to dinners. They really go out of their way to be hospitable. There's something in their heart, I think, that's godly. That's something that's there that causes that.
Yeah.
So these guys here, they used to be the disciples. They were with Jesus. Now they have this sense that maybe there's something more that we really need to understand. So they say, stay with us. And when he was at the table now, Jesus stays with them. When he was at the table, he was with them. He took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he began to give it to them. Now, you know what he's doing. You just absolutely know what he's doing. Oh, my goodness. It's,
you know, this is so incredible. This whole passage of Scripture is just so incredible to me. And we remember that Luke went around and he said, I made a careful investigation of everything that happened. So he must have talked to these guys. And,
yes.
And they told it. And this story must have been fresh in their mind decades later. How can you forget a moment like this where you're all depressed, you're all bummed out, you're walking, you know, your head is hung low. This guy meets up with you. He has no idea what's going on. He sits there and he starts explaining stuff out of the Old Testament. You're looking at your buddy like, who is this guy? How does he know all this stuff? And wow, how does he know that ties in with it? And then they sit down to eat with him, and he breaks the bread.
My goodness.
And
they remember
like,
that.
You know, it was in that upper room. It was like, we saw him when he broke all that bread.
Unbelievable.
It's him, you know?
It's truly amazing. I wish I had this ability, because sometimes I don't like to do what is not so obvious. I would rather tell somebody something directly so I think that they'll get it, rather than allowing them to really find it out by using this kind of innuendo and circumstance that will trigger something in their life that will bring about an understanding.
Yeah.
And it comes from them. And now when it comes from them and they understand it, It's so much better because you can't tell people things oftentimes.
Right.
You can't. You try to tell them it and they go, that's just your idea.
Right,
but
right.
all of a sudden, if you lead them, like just lead them carefully,
yep.
and that's what Jesus does, leads them to this place where, boom, all of a sudden they recognize.
Yeah.
And their eyes were opened, the Bible says. No, their eyes were already open. We know they were open because it was, you know, their eyes were literally open. But here, this is a spiritual opening.
This is a spiritual, that revelation light.
That's what it is.
Clicks on.
Oh. Amazing. You know, when that happens in your life, there's something that really, truly triggers a change in your life because it comes from deep, deep, deep within you. Because you are created, and people often tell you there is a hole missing in people who don't know God. And there's something deep, deep inside of you that when you come to this understanding, it is like light has entered into your inner being.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience. Like you said, I love what you said in that they had to realize it for themselves. And Jesus was just kind of carrying them along. And he was revealing himself through the scripture. He was revealing himself in relational teaching with them, and just those moments that you spend with Jesus. If you've never spent time with him, I encourage you, open the Bible, read it, and pray that prayer that Pastor Adams just said. Hey, God, if you're real, really real, show yourself to me and just open up his book, the lights may come on for you.
Yeah, and in reality, this is a psychological strategy that most therapists use. They don't try to tell you what you need to do. They try to let you come to an understanding yourself what you need to change.
Yeah.
And the only way you're really going to change somebody is when they actually come from the inside out, when they're changed from the inside.
Yep.
And so here it says, he gave bread, he gave thanks, broke the bread, he gave it to them. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. So right at that particular moment, they recognized him. Now that particular word recognize is probably pretty important because recognize, it's not just his appearance, but there's something they recognize that here was a man who said he was God and he was dead. And now he's alive.
Yeah.
And I mean, so they recognize that he's alive and everything that he'd been saying to them, all of a sudden, all these Old Testament scriptures, everything they knew about the Messiah comes back to them.
Yeah.
They recognize that what he's been teaching them is correct. They recognize that he is who he says he is. And they remember the breaking of the bread. They remember all of this and it all comes back. And so this recognition, like you said, is a spiritual explosion that takes place within their minds, their hearts, their whole being.
It's an amazing moment when a person, and I've seen it happen in people's lives where they've come in so weighed down by the cares of this world, by the cares of this life, by stuff in their life, whatever. And when they meet Jesus face to face, and when their spiritual mind, when their mind is touched spiritually and their heart is touched spiritually, and when they're born again, if you will, it's like a new birth. It's like a new life erupts within you. You can't help but exclaim something amazing.
Right. But then, interesting to me, though, because the next thing, when their eyes are open, they recognize him, he disappears from their sight.
He keeps messing with them. I love him. I love it.
You know, there's so many people that, like you say, they come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, but now all of a sudden they have to live a life of faith. They cannot no longer hold on to what we see naturally. They have to come to this place of faith. And here, Jesus throws them back into the life of faith because no longer is he with them. Now they've got to come back to a place of faith and recognize who he is and what he said is true.
Yeah.
And sometimes people come to the Lord and all of a sudden he disappears from them. And their faith is destroyed.
Yeah.
Because they like it when he appears, but they don't want to live by faith.
Right. Yeah, they don't want that. Always there.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, it's by faith. These guys, they kind of had lost everything, all their belief in him, because they saw him die, they saw him buried, now the tomb is empty, all this stuff swirling around.
Their hearts are crazy right now.
And they're going back home. They're like, what do we do now? You know, we got to go get our old jobs back. We're going to be flipping lamb chops. You know, come on, what do we do? And so all of this happens.
I like the flipping lamb chops. I'm ready for the lamb chop.
They're like, you know, once again, that eruption of knowledge and insight and revelation and recognition, and then he's gone.
He's gone.
Where'd he go? They're running around the house. What happened to him? Where did he go?
You get in your car and you leave church, and all of a sudden, he's gone.
He's gone.
Where is he? So you come back the next week, you're looking for him, but there's no faith in your life. Yeah. You're just not looking for faith anymore. You're looking for sight.
But this sparked it.
It did spark it.
This sparked it right here. And when he disappeared, it fired them up. I mean, it really did. They knew they had been in contact with him. They knew he was alive, and they knew something supernatural had happened. Mm. And we can't touch it. We can't feel it. Jesus said, hey, you know, Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen and you've touched the nail scars. But there are going to be people who believe that never see me, have never heard my voice, and yet they're still going to believe. And these guys were kind of the start of that. You know, he disappears, and now they can't see him anymore, but they still believe.
So they have a recognition of Christ. All of a sudden, they know who he is. They come to an understanding spiritually of who he is. But then all of a sudden they do something that, again, I think is really important.
Yeah.
They asked each other. They began to dialogue about the experience they had. They began to share, if you will, what they were feeling and what they were experiencing. And so they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us?
Yeah.
So they recognizing something changed in their life. Something happened deep inside of them, and they're discussing it among each other. Now, that is a sign right there that they are recognizing that something happened, and they didn't just pass it over.
Yeah.
Even though he's gone, they're talking about it. And I think that that's really important when you begin to discuss what happened in your life when Jesus changed it. Don't look back at all the things the enemy brought in, but look at what happened to your life when Jesus came in and changed your life, and didn't your heart burn? And that's why people lose that first love they talked about, because that heart burned for the love of God.
And we don't talk about the things that Jesus does, or
we don't recognize them. No, we don't.
We just take it for granted.
He's
not, you know, he's not here. He's disappeared, you know, right? So he's not here with us, and we can't hear his voice. We can't touch his hand. But he says, are you still going to believe in me? And are you going to talk to somebody else about
that? That's
a key. That's what they do.
Yeah. And so then they open the scriptures. Didn't he open the scriptures to us? I'm sure that's what they said. He opened the scriptures to us. Let's go back and look at them.
Yeah.
Let's go back and really study what he told us.
Right, yeah.
And that's the key. Go back and find out what Jesus was talking to you about. Go back into the scriptures.
Yeah.
Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, we love these Bible studies. We hope you enjoy them. Please come visit us. I talked to a lady today. She says, I've never been to Bethany, but I'm going to come and visit you because people have been telling me how good a church you have. So it's not this church, but it's Jesus that's in this church. So you just come, have Jesus open your eyes. God bless you.